our children should see the glory of God through us as parents and grandparents. They should see answers to prayer. They should see God show up. I mean, I think of that day that Tim, my son, when he was just a 18 or 19 or 20 year old, whatever he was, when we were down here in this field and I was trying to get that bull out of there with those cows, and my son was down there with me. And of course, I'd told him many a miracle that God had done for me. But you know, when you're growing up and you hear Dad talk about miracles, you know, it kind of goes over your head. You know that? You know, you don't, it's kind of like we're kind of hard to train, you know, when we're young. I don't know why that is, but that's the way it appears with nearly all young men. They can't grasp the power of God. They're looking for their own power. But anyway, that day down there when we couldn't get that big monstrous bull out of that pasture with them cows, when Tim made the statement, "Dad, we're going to have to go get a couple more guys and a couple of horses. We're never going to get that bull out of here." I said, "Son, we got help that you don't know about." He said, "What do you mean?" I just turned. I said, "Father, in the name of Jesus, send me an angel." I said, "Lord, thank you." I said, "Angel, I want you to go over and grab that bull by the neck, and I want you to lead him right over yonder against that fence. Then I want you to turn him north down that fence and lead him all the way down yonder where I got that gate open in the corner, and then put him through that gate. Then I'll go down there and close the gate." I said, "Thank you, Lord." I said, "Thank you, angel." I said, "Son, let's get him." He said, "Dad, what are you talking about?" I said, "Come on, let's go." And so he started following me. We walked toward the herd of cows, that bull which was standing right in the middle. He lifted his head up. He walked just as straight where I'd pointed my finger to that fence and turned down that fence and started down there. And me and Tim following 30, 40, 50 yards behind him. And I was praising the Lord. "Lord, thank you. Praise you, angel." I said, "Lord, thank you for sending this angel." Tim's over saying, Dad, this is another one of your wild stories. If I hadn't been here to see this, I'd never believe this." Well, our children should see the glory of God. When they see those kind of things happen through daddy or mother or grandmother or granddaddy, will they ever forget it? No. That's just like the other day, my little grandson, Tim's little son, he's about 5 years old. Him, his little sister come around the edge and he's pushing his bicycle, just screaming, crying. And I happened to walk out the front door and I walked out there and I said, "Preston, son," I said, "What's wrong with you?" "Oh, granddaddy, I fell over the handlebar, hit me in the chest, and I'm so hurting." And oh, he was just crying. I said, "Well, hold on a minute, son." I reached up and laid my hand on his chest and laid my hand on his back. I said, "Father, in the name of Jesus, take away Preston's pain." I said, "Lord, thank you for healing the little guy." I said, "Thank you, Lord. It's done in Jesus' name." I took my hand off him. I said, "Now, son, your pain's gone." He quit crying. He says, "It is gone, Granddad." I said, "Well, get on your bicycle and go on." I said, "Praise God." So he jumped on his bicycle and rode off with no crying. Now see, how should you and me react in front of our children and our grandchildren? We should be godly. We should stand on the promises of God's word, and we should expect the King to show up. When we have a business meeting as men, when we get to be in the running your world, how should you start out your day every day? With prayer and thanksgiving to God. Is that right? I don't care if you're running your own business or if you're working for somebody else. Your day should be started out with prayer and thanksgiving to God. And then anytime if you work for somebody else and they give you a job to do, you say, "Okay, I can do that. But Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for giving me wisdom and knowledge how to do a good job for my company." Do it right in front of everybody. I mean, you know, let them all know where you're getting your source of power. It's coming from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when they say, "Good grief, man, that guy, he's the best worker. He can get things done." In fact, I was watching a little video the other day about warplanes, and it was talking about the engineer that designed the U-2. I mean, this guy was a giant in his own time. He designed this airplane, and about 2 years before it got shot down by the Russians over Russia, he designed an airplane that would fly, he said, at least four times as fast as a U-2 and many miles higher. Now then, while they were working on this airplane, one of the men came on the scene there on the video and said, "If somebody had to come to us and asked us, the normal group of engineers, to build an airplane to do what this man's building an airplane to do, we would all have said, it's not possible. This cannot be done. It's not possible to build an airplane that'll fly this speed at this altitude." But this man obviously was a man of God. You know, I can just tell you, he had to be a man of God. And he knew where the secrets and the treasures of the universe were hidden, in Christ, which was in him. And so by seeking God, obviously, and building and designing this airplane, when they test flew the SR-71, it didn't do what they thought it would do. It exceeded everything they dreamed it would do. And that airplane flew for 25 years and served 6 presidents in the United States and is still probably the fastest airplane we have to this day, but it was retired in 1992. That's how long that thing's been in the museums. That thing will fly at speeds of 6,000 to 8,000 nautical miles an hour. You know, at thousands and thousands of feet. I mean, in the year that 25 years that thing served us as a reconnaissance airplane flying all over the world, they say they have known over 4,000 high-powered rockets and missiles that have been fired at that airplane, and guess how many of them's ever been shot down? Not one. Not one. You think that engineer was ahead of his time? Let me tell you, that guy was ahead of his time. Where do you think he got that information? From God. Only from God can you get that kind of information. So with us that are willing to seek God, what can we do as Christians? Anything. There is nothing impossible with us. That's what we've got to remember under this new covenant. Let us see your miracles again, Lord. Let our children see your glory at work. Our children are going to see his glory at work through us. When we pray, and just like when I went out there and prayed for Preston the other day, you know what the average parent would have done? They'd have grabbed him up, took him to the doctor. But I prayed. And God instantly took away the little guy's pain. I mean, he just quit crying right there. Just think, if you live your whole life like that, guess what'll happen? I mean, I think about little John. Dave and Yesha they're raising all their children like this. But when little John was just barely big enough to run around the place, when he'd get hurt, he'd come in and say, "Daddy, an owie, I want you to pray." And Daddy would lay hands on pray for him, and he'd go run and play. Now, is that the way we should be doing all of our children?
Amen.
Amen. That's the way we ought to be raising our children, to see the glory of God. But the scripture tells us, let us see your miracles again. Do you love to see it when God does miracles?
Amen.
Oh, I do. I love it when the Lord does a miracle for me. I love it, but I definitely love it when our children get to see the glory of God at work. Don't you? Verse 17. And may the Lord our God show us his approval and make our efforts successful. Yes, make our efforts successful. Well, let me tell you, I can guarantee you, if you put Jesus first and you seek him in everything you do and you study his word, I will guarantee you, you cannot fail in this life on this earth. It will be impossible to fail if you'll put the king first and do what he says. Now then, I want to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. We're talking about the Lord's coming again. We're going to talk about it some more in this before we get through with 1 Thessalonians. Finally, when we could stand it no longer, we decided that I should stay alone in Athens. And we sent Timothy to visit you. He is our co-worker for God and our brother in proclaiming the good news of Christ. We sent him to strengthen you and to encourage you in your faith. Do we need somebody to go encourage us in our faith regularly? You know, I mean, I think about my lovely honey bunny. I mean, her brother was out of a job for a while. And I mean, he was down. He doesn't go to church. He doesn't serve God. So she'd go over there to help him with a house after her mother died and all this kind of stuff. And when she'd come home, guess what? She's down. All she had heard was negative things all day long. I'd almost have to get the stick to beat her, you know? I mean, the word of God. Say, honey, buddy, stop that. I said, you got to get away from that negative stuff. Start speaking positive things, because she was around negative talk. Well, she finally prayed him through and got him a job, so praise the Lord. I mean, praise the Lord for that. I mean, you know, he thought he wasn't there. He was 65. You know, and he was thinking he ain't never going to be able to work again. You know, but Cheryl, boy, she's encouraging him, you know, get out there, Roddy, and get to work. I mean, and she's praying for him and everything else. So praise God, he finally got a job and everything's going better for him. Now then, it says, We send him to strengthen your faith, verse 3 and 4. And to keep you from becoming disturbed by the troubles you were going through. I mean, these people had to go through troubles back there? Isn't that strange? Aren't we glad we don't have any today? So see, there's not a whole lot of change from 2,000 years, is there? They had troubles, and we got troubles, don't we? Yes, we do. But of course, you know that such troubles are going to happen to us Christians. You know, they could have left that out of the Bible. I don't really like that. But he's telling you in advance, get used to it. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have troubles. I was thinking about a young man that just came to me this week, asked me to pray over his little animal and little dog. So I did. He said, Thurman, I'm going to stand for my dog just like you stood for Caitlin and see God raise her up. I said, okay, stand on the word. Well, that night the little dog died in his arms. And he was so distraught. He was so miserable. And he came to me with tears in his eyes. His heart was broken. And he said, but you stood for Caitlin, and God raised her up. I said, but I lost a wife and a daughter too. Oh my gosh, he said, I never thought about that. See, he was so concerned about losing his puppy. But I lost a wife and a daughter to get God to raise up Caitlin. So I said, you know, there's one thing you got to learn on this earth. There's going to be troubles and there's going to be death and destruction. So just get used to it. I said, don't get attached to anything very closely on the earth. Really don't get attached to anything. And if you're going to get attached to anything at all, let it be a loved person. You know, not anything else. Because you know we're all going to die. I remember one day a young man that worked with me, when he found out his mother passed away. She was an old woman. But when she passed away, he left work. He was so upset, and he drove almost 100 miles down 45 to where they live. And I think he drove that old car of his on the floor all the way. When I heard about it, when he got back, I told him. I called him out. I said, you know, you're a fool. He said, what do you mean? My mother died. I said, but you driving 100 miles an hour wasn't going to change a thing. I said, you could have killed yourself and a number of other people.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, God Exposes Our Secret Sins, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.